Thursday edition. And there's really, I mean, there'd be a lot on the show.
Don't get me wrong.
But there's really one only, there's only one edition that matters. The Was Tausch in Mel Kiper's 2000 NFL Draft Guide edition. Of Wilde and Tausch. On 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam. ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app, your Alexa smart speaker, streaming live video, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and of course everything you need on WisconsinOnDemand.com and the Wisconsin On Demand app. I'm Jason Wilde in Green Bay. Jesse Nelson is in the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison studios. The star of our show, the Packers Hall of Famer Mark Tauscher, is in his undisclosed location. But additionally, having spent $103.95 plus shipping and tax on eBay to purchase like six guides, but to get the one we needed. From the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All, ESPN Milwaukee Studios, sporting a very nifty hat. I like that. She is the straw that stirs the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy drink. She is Jen Latta.
Good morning,
gentlemen. Who joins
gentlemen.
Us to begin the show. Hi!
Hi.
How you doing?
I'm great.
Jen, what would the drink of Jen, Gabe, and Chewy be?
Ooh.
Since you're stirring it.
Putting me on the spot here. Gabe is a big brandy old-fashioned guy. Chewy is a big white wine guy. I am a big, very, very dirty martini gal. Joshy, what do you even like?
Ice cold beers.
Ice cold
Long
beer.
Long neck, ice cold beer never broke my heart. I went to Luke Combs last weekend, so that's top of mind. I apologize. So we got a smorgasbord happening here. I'm not exactly sure we could settle on one, Tausch.
Okay. All right.
All right. So the reason why Jen is joining us, other than to, is that a Luke Combs song, I assume?
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay.
Way to follow the bouncing ball, yes.
That's me. I'm on top of things. Is because Mel Kiper appeared on this show, as he often does, or at least once a year, heading into the draft. And Mark Tauscher besmirched his sterling reputation by alleging, or did you? We'll find out.
No, I think I did.
By alleging that he had been left out of the 2000 Mel Kiper NFL Draft Guide. Subsequently, before we get to Jen, Mel called back and left this voicemail.
Yeah, this is for Mark Tauscher, or Tausch, as they say, who has been talking about Mel Kiper, never had me in the book, he forgot about me, didn't know who I was, didn't give me anything, gave me no love. Mark, I wrote you up, I scouted you, I gave you a sixth-round grade. Now you're destroying my credibility with all these negative comments and make people think I had no clue who you were, that you even played college football, that I was completely out to lunch. This negativity's got to stop. I gave you a write-up. You were ranked. You were rated as a sixth-round pick. Last time I checked, you went in the seventh round, so I kind of overrated you with the sixth-round grade, but I did write you up in the book in 2000, so stop, please, with the negativity. You are trying to destroy my career of 46 years, and I don't appreciate it.
That's my favorite part, is you're trying to destroy my career of 46 years, and I don't appreciate it. So Jen and I both sprung into action after this. Found one of these on eBay. I tried to negotiate, so we just had to buy the one guide we needed. The woman who was selling it was very nice and said I would have been happy to do that, but someone bought all the guides.
What a coincidence.
What a coinky dink this is. Who would buy them all? And what are the chances? And it turned out that it was Jen. So, without further ado, Jen, you have in your hand, and you have not opened it. Wow, it's like 8.5 by 11.
I have not opened it. Yeah, and to be honest with you guys, okay, I know that we've poked fun at my being spendy, but these are incredible. These books, I mean, they are good quality. I've enjoyed. I flipped through the 1996 one. It's talking about Keyshawn Johnson. You know, I love a good story. It's got stories on all of these guys. So for me, and
collector's
you know,
items.
Exactly. You know, because we're all football heads around here. It's actually been fun perusing some of the other ones. But I told you guys I would not crack this one. I did not crack this one. Gabe Neitzel opened it 15 minutes ago and flipped through it just to see. So I do have in front of me the 2000 draft report, Mel Kiper Jr.'s. LeVar Arrington is on the cover. Tausch is not, unfortunately, on the cover. But I will tell
Courtney
you this.
Courtney Brown, I believe, was the number one overall pick that year. Another Penn State guy, if my memory serves me.
Here's what I did notice, though, guys. There's a glossary in every single one of these. Saw it in the 96 one. So in the back of the 2001, if you go to the glossary where every player is listed that's in the book, Mark Tauscher is listed on two pages in the book.
Two pages?
Okay.
Now, that is not, that's not specific, right? Because you were talking about being written up in the book. He does lists. He has exhaustive lists of a lot of the players who are available. So the two pages that Mark Tauscher is featured on in this one are page 47 and page 93. So going from the back to the front, we go to page 93 first. Let's see. 93. On page 93, Mark Tauscher is listed here as an offensive guard. He is listed, and he's number 20 of 21. Hey. Mark Tauscher is listed as an offensive guard in the, but I don't think that counts for what Tausch was talking about, right?
This does not count as a write-up. No.
Agreed.
This does not.
Okay. Agreed.
Which brings us to the other page, so, 47.
Page 43 better have the goods or Mel's going to be having to send me an apology.
Page 47 mentions how Courtney Brown threw you to the ground on his way to the quarterback
Let's go page 47.
At the very bottom of page 47 in the 2000 draft report by Mel Kiper Jr., it says Mark Tauscher, 6'3", 318, Wisconsin. Former walk-on who worked as a backup to Chris McIntosh at left tackle the majority of his stay with the Badgers, moved in as a starter for the first time this past season, but this time around he filled the void at right tackle that was created with the graduation loss of Aaron Gibson. Tauscher has upgraded his position technique and shows the necessary athleticism, but at the pro level, he'll have to carve out a niche inside at a guard spot. He is currently lacking the functional strength to gain a necessary movement at the point. You also have to question how effective he can be when it comes to pulling and getting outside, but he did a very capable job opposite McIntosh along the Badgers offensive line. Tauscher looks primarily like a backup material inside at the guard position. That sounds like a write-up to me.
That's a very capable write-up.
Jen, if somebody said to you, Jen, you're very capable, how do you take that? Is that compliment or is that...
Well, here's what I will say. I do think that you could have drawn some motivation from that write-up. I'm not saying that, you know, this idea of like chip on the shoulder and they don't think I'm good enough didn't come from this. But there sure as hell is a write-up in this book, Tausch.
There's a write-up. So, Jen, does it say sixth round? Does it say sixth round grade? Because I feel like Mel may have added that. I don't think that, is that in the write-up?
Round, 6 points. I'm guessing R stands for round.
Yeah,
that would be my
maybe
guess.
No, yeah. There's no, it can't be. These other ones are, no, rating. He gave you a rating. The rating was 6.5. Okay. I don't know where the round would be.
Okay.
So I think, I'm happy to give this to you.
So I think we can all agree. I think we all agree. I probably owe Mel an apology. Is that a fair assessment?
There ain't no probably about it.
It's funny because I wasn't sure when you said, I think we can all agree. I was like, where's he going with this? But yes, I do think that we all can agree that he did, in fact, write you up in his book. Again, I'm trying to figure out where this projection is because he said that he had you going in the sixth round. I'm not sure how that is distinguished in this book.
So, okay. So to sum it up, I was wrong. And Jen, I heard you guys talking this morning, Charlotte's Web. I love Charlotte's Web. I think it's a great movie. So if Charlotte was, I was at the fair, and she was trying to keep me from being slaughtered, very capable would be in my web. That would be my web, not charismatic or all the other stuff that Charlotte did for Wilbur. I would be very adequate, or however you'd want to put it.
Well, but to be fair, Charlotte wove some pig into the web at one point. I wouldn't say that's a glowing review either, is it?
Yeah, I always wondered that. But hey, the bottom line was Charlotte delivered the goods for Wilbur. And for as much as I don't think that's a glowing write-up, it's fair. I thought it was fair at the time. And I owe Mel Kiper Jr. an apology. He did
stop,
put me in his
please, book. With the negativity.
All right, so can we explore a couple other aspects of this, if you don't mind? Was it accurate to suggest that you needed to improve your functional strength?
I think we can all improve our functional strength, can't we? Right, so I think you could always write that in, and that I think that's always a, something that all of us, including yourself, could do.
That's not an answer.
I mean, if you want to take issue with one of the things, it would be Tauscher looks primarily like backup material inside at guard.
That's where I'm getting to. Also, though, your athleticism and your feet were one of your best qualities, and it suggests in there that you might not be able to pull effectively. But you were, you didn't do as much pulling at tackle as you would have done at guard, but you still did some, right? Was that something you got better at, or was that not a strength of yours?
No, I was good at that. I think that's where Mel missed.
I would agree. And then finally, as Jen pointed out, he had you pegged as a not only as a backup, but a backup guard. So we see these things being written. I don't want to compare you to Graham Barton or some of these other guys that are playing tackle in college and are going to play somewhere else in the pros. But you were being projected to move inside. Was that what your expectation was? Were you being told that a lot as you were going through the process? Because you ended up being a damn good right tackle for 11 years in the NFL.
Yes, I was told that by some. And even when I got up to Green Bay, I think it was more of, I'm not sure what we're going to do with you yet. And then injuries and opportunities kind of come about. And
sure.
You either run with it or you don't. So at that point, I didn't care about all that. That was just white noise. But I can't argue a ton with Mel's assessment. I'm always going to go. I would go with Buschbaum because he had me as a third round, and most other people didn't have me in their book. So, again, I have to look back. I apologize to Mel, and next year when we have him on, I will make sure to let him know.
I did rating, Jason. You know how we were talking about the rating scale?
Yeah.
So if he's listed as a 6.6 point something. Hold on, I have to go back to the page. 6.5, and the rating, he's got the key at the beginning of the book. The 6 can make a club and contribute 7th to 9th round projection. So if he gave you a 6, which he did, a 6.5.
Not even 9 rounds at that point.
7th to 9 rounds.
It's only 7 rounds, Mel. I mean, Jesus. Wait, 7th to 9th is, that's a wide swath. So,
all right, last thing to put a bow on this. How did you get under the misapprehension, though, that you weren't in the book at all? I'm going to go, by the way, I'll be at Lambeau on Monday for Goody, and I will grab, I know I have the 2000 Joel Buxbaum book, so I will grab that and see what he thought of you. Now I feel like we have to fact check you, because if he had you as a third round pick, that's very interesting to me, and I want to read what he wrote that maybe had you rated higher than Mel did. But what gave you the impression that Mel had snubbed you? Because it did sound like it was something of a motivator for you to prove the haters wrong.
Yeah, I think that was probably part of it. I think maybe there was another edition that Mel put out that was maybe just 5 rounds. I don't know. Athletes make stuff up a lot of times to kind of generate that chip on their shoulder.
Like Jordan.
So that may have been what it was. And Mel, you know, Mel is the biggest name in the draftnik community. So I'm fine with it. I think I utilize that. The question I have is, Jen, how would we feel if we started doing this with just everyday life? I'm talking every job. What if we had evaluators that went and did what Mel does with
at colleges?
Prospect? It doesn't. No, I'm talking about at ESPN Wisconsin. I'm talking about at the big ESPN. Whatever your job is, let's start evaluating it as raw and as ripe as what Mel does. How would we feel about that, Jen?
It's probably unnecessary in some spaces, right? But like, if you're in a position, well, because I don't know what people do behind closed doors. Like, I couldn't tell you, you know, my mom is a corporate paralegal. I have no idea what her day-to-day responsibilities are for her job. Therefore, I don't know what the interest would be in evaluating her on some sort of public, you know, in some sort of public book. But for people like you, for people like me who work in the public space, who need to get used to being criticized, I actually don't mind it that much. Like, the sooner that you can take in criticism, figure out which is valuable and which is not, I think you're better at then handling that in the professional space. So I'm not saying, like, as a kid, I need people over there, like, giving me public reviews, but I will say the sooner that that happens, the better off you're going to be if, in fact, you're existing in a profession where you are going to be criticized on a regular basis.
Mel Kiper had your mom as a ninth-round corporate paralegal. So she's really overcome.
Very good shorthand. Like,
She had no idea that she would last. She's been at that company for a good 30 years now. So, like, he had no idea that she was going to be one of those people who, you know, what do we call those people in the NFL? Iron Men?
She's like Brett Favre, basically.
Yeah.
Well, maybe not exactly. But all right, so...
Remember when that used to be a compliment? Remember when calling someone Brett Favre of their profession was like a compliment?
Yeah, I need to readjust that. Yes, I do need to readjust that. Tausch, I don't think we should... This is issuing the rating as you're going into the profession, though. And it's projecting how good you'll be. So... As I was coming out of the University of Wisconsin and had started writing for the Capital Times and the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel while I was still a student, I would think that I would have had a pretty high journalism draft grade because I had real world experience entering my career. So I would, but that wouldn't have necessarily
projected. I'm talking now you have 28 years experience. Now let's evaluate it. Let's get in there. You as a journalist,
like,
that's all you,
like you do
is evaluate. You evaluate players. You evaluate athletes. We sit here and talk about it. Let's evaluate the beat. Let's do that. Let's delve in and see how you guys have done. How have you predicted? How have you? That could be entertaining. Maybe people don't care, but I would. I'd be fascinated.
It feels a little spiteful.
It's
intense.
How so? Why is that spiteful?
It seems like you're ready to get after some people after you feel like maybe you've been gotten after, but like Mel's right up
about
you.
Yeah.
But I will always say this, guys.
But in fairness.
Like, Tausch, like, whatever the reality versus what you fabricated in your mind, like, thank goodness you did that. Because this is one of those sliding door moments where had you not thought that you were slighted, who's to say if you go on to have the storied career that you had, right? Like, sometimes we sit there and say, like, I can't believe that I got cut from that team, or I can't believe that person told me, or I was no good, or I can't believe that manager called me that name in that meeting. But, like, for a lot of people, especially, like, you know, type A competitive people who want to excel and succeed, they use that, and I can't tell you if I am where I am without some of those, like, you know, unfortunate encounters. Do you know what I mean? So, like, I'm always like, I'm not going to sit here and say, so for this Mel Kiper thing, clearly it motivated you to reach a certain level of heights and success. So I guess I'm happy that you misinterpreted his write-up.
Or the existence
of it. Yeah, I think it's good. I think to kind of wrap it up, there is no doubt, and I think it would be good in a lot of different, and I guess my point is, in a lot of different walks of life, that you get pushed and that you have these moments where people tell you you can't do it, that you stink, and if you can take that on and utilize it, it can drive you to new things where I think a vast majority of people can't take that. Most people don't want to take it, but... Well, the competitive athletes and things like that, they utilize that. And that's why the Stephen A. Smiths and the people that drive a lot of conversation, that people will utilize that. And you think, why does Tom Brady care what Max Kellerman said? Well, he did. And he utilized it. And he said, take this cliff, shove it up your blank, and I'm going to continue to play until I'm 45. It isn't rational, but, man, it's a motivator and it works. So I'm with Jen. I agree. I'm glad Mel did it. I had plenty of others that felt that way, and I think that did help. Wasn't the main reason, but it definitely didn't hurt as far as when you're working and you're trying to achieve something. It's nice to be able to tell people, hey, blank off. I can do it.
Were you really motivated to tell people to blank off? Like, here's a guy who rode the bench, finally gets his opportunity. I'm sorry. I like to think of myself as the official biographer of Mark Tauscher. And I would say your story is more about a player who seized the opportunities that he waited or got presented to him and didn't fail in those opportunities.
It can be both. Jason, it can be both.
Right, but the idea that you
know how many times I heard people say, can we really have a seventh-round pick block this? Can he really do this? Can you do this? And it wasn't just Mel Kiper's. It was media. Now, I had a lot of support, too, don't get me wrong, but just as much on the other side of it, and it can be both. You don't want to be driven exclusively by that.
I understand that.
But it is a motivator, for sure.
Yeah, and I just thought it was important to augment that with you got an opportunity at the University of Wisconsin that your coaches didn't even realize you still had left, and you seized it. If you'd have played like crap, it wouldn't have mattered. If you would not have been good at Wisconsin, sure, you would not have been in Mel Kiper's book. Because plenty of guys have started in college.
I am in Mel Kiper's book. And, Jen, thanks for getting us that book. Thanks for overbidding Jason to get it.
Did you get your money's worth is really the question here.
Again, I was telling the guys in the break before the show, these are fun. Like, I love now that I have six of them. There's a couple of other years that I might go after just because
you're not. You're
going to
complete the set.
Can you imagine if all of a sudden I'm out there just like searching for all of the Mel Kiper Jr. draft reports?
You wonder how many of those Mel has signed and how collectible those are. If you had every Mel Kiper book signed from every draft he's done, I guarantee you that collection would be worth something.
Good luck with that endeavor.
That's Mel Kiper Jr.'s retirement fund there. He's got the books. He's going to sign them. He's going to sell them on eBay, and that'll fund his time in Florida.
Jen, we appreciate you spending your hard-earned money and spending extra time reading to us from the 2000 Mel Kiper Draft Guide. You are rated higher than a 7th to 9th round pick in our book. Thanks a lot.
Of course, there's only like 5 people in the draft, so I guess that's how that shook out. Thanks, guys. Have a great one.
You are trying to destroy my career of 46 years, and I don't appreciate it.
So do you think, Tausch, that given the success of Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, that at some point, somebody looked at Gina Dell, who's got stuff going on now. Sleek, do you think people spoke to her in this way and told her, you don't know anything about Windows. You're not going to succeed at this.
Well, you'll have to ask Gina, but I can tell you this: you could turn your ordinary space into something extraordinary with brand new Pella Windows and Doors. The luxurious look, the sleek design, and the custom colors available are guaranteed to give your home the extra pop to entertain and to keep you comfortable. It's the best of both worlds. Plus, getting the perfect windows and doors for your home, it's never been easier. Right now, you get 0% interest for 36 months or no down payment, no interest, and no payments for up to 18 months if you book before April 30th. Take ownership of your living space and make it a place worth living with Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
We'll shift gears next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
You're listening to Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN. Presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin and sponsored by American Family Insurance.
That did not disappoint. That was fantastic. That was really fun. So thanks to Jen Latta for purchasing on eBay those Mel Kiper draft guides. We're going to get into the 2024 NFL draft and what Mel Kiper sees happening coming up. Tausch, I am curious, because we spend a lot of time on this show talking about the Packers' way of drafting college left tackles, and then playing them elsewhere. You said you got to Green Bay and they weren't really sure what they were going to do with you. But Sean Ryan was drafted, was a left tackle at UCLA, was projected to be a guard, and now looks like he's going to be a starting guard for them. Cliffy was a left tackle and stayed at left tackle. But most of the others, Bakhtiari did the same thing, but they were trying Bakhtiari at guard at the time of Brian Bulaga's injury during the summer of 2013. If you are making a move, how hard would that be? And do you think that that's something that is daunting for a prospect that gets drafted next week by the Packers who's played left tackle? And they say, yeah, we want you to be a center.
Yeah, it's daunting. The things happen a lot faster in there. And you just think about most of these guys have been the top of their class, whether it's high school or even when they come to college. Their athleticism, and if you play left tackle, that's up. But go out here, and things are more complicated. It's not just, hey, block that defensive end. You have to, you know, you have to be a little stouter. You have to be stronger, you know, right at the point. So there's a lot, a much different skill set that goes into it. But I think the Packers' thought process on this is, give us great athletes. It's our job to mold and to get these guys to do what we're looking for. So.
And it's worked.
You can move your feet and you're strong enough, we'll find a spot for you and we'll let you grow into it. Because I think there have been some media folks that were, you know, saying bust with Sean Ryan. I don't know if you're one of them, Jason. I'd have to go back and look at your articles. But the fact that he didn't play right away and then he struggled. And it's, oh, is he redshirting?
Got suspended.
What is he doing? Yeah, a lot of things. There is a process. It's not as easy as just we'll jump in there and play. Some guys can't. Most guys can't. And especially when you're asking guys to switch positions. You know, for Sean, if he was a left tackle in college, now he's playing right guard. A lot of change.
Right.
A lot of getting to understand it and get comfortable in being able to do it. So, but what the Packers have wisely done, if you draft somebody that can only play right tackle, you're very limited. You can't move and you can't do the stuff that you need to. Offensive line play is about athleticism and it's about toughness. If you can do those two things, you'll find a spot for you. If you can't, it's very difficult to, I don't care what position you end up trying to play. If you can't move your feet and you don't know where you're going and you're not strong or tough enough to get through it, there's no spot for you. Don't matter where you were drafted or you know, where you're from. Any of that stuff.
And the only time you played guard was when you were rotating over there because Marco broke his hand. Is that right?
Sounds right, yep.
Yeah. If you put the Prize Picks projection at 1.5 offensive linemen selected by the Packers during the 2024 NFL draft, would you take more or less?
Ooh, it's a tough question. I'll have to look at Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. Over 3 million active members, and all you do is pick more or less on 2 to 6 player stat projections, and you can watch that cash roll in. Hockey, baseball, you got basketball, playoffs, tennis, you got it all. Prize Picks even offers injury insurance so that your entries stay in play even if one of your players gets hurt. So now I had my great weekend last weekend. I'm going to dabble a little bit this weekend. We got Nala Dame. How's he going to do it? You know, LeBron, my boy Joker. We got all these cats. I'm going to take a look at it. I'm going to get me a couple fun little entries this weekend. Download the app, Prize Picks app, and use that code WI for the first deposit match up to $100. That's code WI on Prize Picks for a first deposit match up to $100. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
Did you say basketball playoffs there? Those have not started yet, right? Are we in? We're still in agreement there?
This again.
Yeah, they start on the weekend.
Yeah, they don't start.
The postseason has started, but the playoffs have not.
No, there's a play-in game tonight, and there's a play-in game tomorrow, and I think the regular, the actual postseason games start Saturday afternoon.
No, you're not being consistent with what you said yesterday. The postseason started on Tuesday, but the playoffs start on Saturday.
And they start on Sunday for the Milwaukee Bucks.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I meant, yeah.
We will see how that plays out when it begins on Sunday for the Bucks. They take on the Indiana Pacers in their opening round series. All right, we talked about Mel Kiper. A week from today, the first round of the NFL draft begins. Who does Mel Kiper have going to the Packers at 25? Does he have him staying at 25? We'll check out his most recent mock draft, a two-round mock draft, which means three Packers picks. Next, it's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN, sponsored by American Family Insurance. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at amfam.com. 4.5 ESPN. Because I'm a hazard to myself. Don't let me get me.
No, I'm my own worst enemy. It's bad when you ignore yourself. So irritating. No, don't want to be my friend. No, we agree on a few things on this show. Among them, we love Mel Kiper, right? He's a good friend of the show. We love him. Mock drafts, and he came on one year and kind of explained his philosophy on them. But I think if you're scoring at home, I think every mock draft he's put out, the Packers have taken someone different at 25.
That covers your bases.
So, without further ado, Jesse, do you have... I don't know, music that actually is used for the NFL draft on ESPN from time to time. Do you have anything like that?
I don't know about that, but I do have this one that I was in a little early today, helping getting ready for a few different situations, including this.
Yeah.
Never gets old.
It does, actually. It does get old. With the 25th overall pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the Green Bay Packers select, according to Mel Kiper and Field Yates, Cooper DeJean, cornerback, Iowa.
Wow.
Edge rusher, offensive tackle, or cornerback? I like the value with DeJean, Mel Kiper writes, who is number 21 overall on my big board. Some teams see him as a safety, but I think he can be a number one corner. I feel like we had a conversation, Tausch, like a week and a half ago, that after his pro day, Coop ain't going to be there at 25. Now, Mel's got him at 25. What do you make of this?
First off, I don't know why his name's not DeJean.
Yeah,
like,
I
don't know.
It's
spelled like it should be DeJean.
Uh-huh.
Should be a little Frenchness to it. Again, the beautiful part about where Green Bay is, there isn't any pick here that you could say, what a waste, unless it's a quarterback. So if he can come in, and I know Jaire Alexander reported, seems
he
like he's happy. We don't necessarily know how Stokey's going to do. Jaire's guaranteed money is going to start winding down. And you cannot have enough good corners. So, DeJean, however you want to pronounce it, I think all Packer fans have been salivating. And I've seen his name on a ton of mocks. And then you also factor in past history of Brian Gutekunst. Where did the guy that he drafted first round last year come from?
Iowa.
Has he picked a ton of Iowa guys and had a lot of success? Balaga, Daniels,
Packers
Hyde,
have, yes.
He didn't. Yep. The Packers have done this. So when you start looking at that, that stuff matters. Because you trust what the strength coaches are telling you. You trust what the head coaches are telling you. And you feel good that you're going to have... Iowa guys are floor guys. You know.
High floor.
Like I told you last year after they picked Van Ness. I don't know if he's going to become an elite pass rusher, but what I do know, I've seen him against top-tier tackles, the Ohio State tackle, I think Northwestern had a tackle, and He was strong like a bull and pushed these guys around. So the floor was set. He's going to be a physical, tough player that's going to bring a lot to your team. He's going to get better. So if this is, in fact, who the Packers pick, his athleticism pops. It's at a position where you make a really good argument they're going to need to add.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd be somebody that could jump in right away and be a big contributor for you. I'd have no problem if that is the way Green Bay went.
What if I told you that in Mel's mock drafts, with the 26th pick, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers take Chop Robinson? So if you have Cooper and Chop both available to you, and wow. Goody dials you up and says, Tausch, you called games against Iowa and Penn State. We're going to hold off on last name Newton.
We didn't play Penn State last year.
At no point did you call a Penn State-Wisconsin game during your time in the booth? They never played at home during your time as the third guy?
At some point, but not with Chop. Not with Chopper.
But you love Chop.
I do.
Tausch, we're torn between Coop and Chop. What do you think I should do? What would
take
you tell
Newton.
Him?
Johnny Newton.
I'll last name Newton. Newton. We're holding off on Newton. We got him with a second round grade.
Okay, so I think I look at this, and I think everybody assumes DeGene is going to be gone. So if the value is there, take DeGene. Even though I love Chop, Chop is grease off the edge. I don't know how Chop's going to hold up against the run. Chop's going to be a light in the pants to start.
Okay.
So you're going to be able to run on. There's going to be some, but man. Elite pass rushers. They said that about Dwight Freeney. No, he's too small. Got a gold jacket. So guys that can scream off the edge and bend and disrupt games the way he did against the national champions last year. It's tough. But I'm going to tell him, DeGene, go with DeGene even over Chop, even though I've been on the Chop train for a long time. Because I think the value is there, and if that's where your grade falls, trust your board.
For those of you curious, Mel Kiper has Johnny, or as he refers to him, Jerzon, because that's his real first name, Newton, the defensive tackle from Illinois that Tausch raved about, at 49 to the Bengals, which would mean the Packers
if they get Newton in the second round. With any of these other guys, that I'm telling you, that dude's going to be a player at the next level. I'm telling you right now. He's going to be disruptive.
We will get to Mel's picks for the second and third round picks. The Packers have two each, so we'll go through those coming up next after Tausch.
If they draft a Newton or someone else,
Roberson,
in that first or second round, is that going to make you think Kenny Clark's time here is done?
I mean, after this year done, that they're not going to re-sign him done?
He's going to be on the team this year.
No, well, there have been some rumblings in the blogosphere Twitterverse.
Oh, tell me. What did you hear? What are you hearing? You out late at night at Rustique with some of the boys? And no. They're telling you that they think old boy could be a gold jacket if they move him inside? What are you hearing at Rustique? Tell me more.
That's not what I'm hearing.
What are you hearing?
The idea that they would trade Kenny Clark this year is laughable to me, and that's what some folks on the internet have suggested. I don't see that.
Oh, nobody in the building. Nobody in the building.
No, I can't imagine anybody in the building.
I'm just intrigued by the building people, what they tell you, not the blogosphere.
Yeah, well, I didn't hear this from anyone in the building. What I did hear is that you... I never said I heard it from the people in the building.
Well, I know, but you kind of made me. My ears perked up when you're like,
I just didn't like what you heard.
Heard rumblings.
I just didn't like
what you
heard.
You just don't want to get sound. You don't want to get sound graft. You're afraid of the Domofsky treatment. That's what that was right there. I think you backtracked a little bit.
I didn't.
Jesse,
like you
did not feel like he was going to unload something good there. Or am I crazy?
I think you got in your own head a little bit. I don't think he intended
okay.
to.
Okay. Yeah, Coors Light, brewed with a three-step cold process. Cold. The fact you two have formed this crazy alliance drives me crazy. Coors Light, brewed with a three-step cold process. Cold lager, cold filtered, and cold packaged, so it's made to chill. The mountains on Coors Light's cold-activated bottles and cans, they turn blue. That's when you know it is chilled to perfection. That's why it's Coors Light in my hand when I need a moment to chill. Celebrate responsibly, Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. The reason I thought Jesse was on my squad there, he started playing the music when you were spilling, when you were thinking about spilling beans. And then he pulled back, and then he's like, well, no, I didn't think you got your own head there. Oh, T.
I thought he had something for us. Like, he really gave us nothing. But
he gave us nothing. That's
think,
all my, that
was
my
only
point.
I think he was going to give us a Domovsky bomb like last week.
Oh, nobody thought he was. Okay, in fairness, nobody thought a Domovsky bomb was coming. But I didn't think he was going to say, Lenny from the blogosphere said that they might trade Kenny Clark. Nobody gives a rip. Now, if he said, Fred from the front office said, well, if somebody blows us away, Kenny Clark might be available, then I'm intrigued. And he kind of made it feel like that was the case. Maybe I was misreading it. Maybe.
Are you done?
If I may. If I may. I knew. Yeah. Yeah, I'm done.
Who does Mel Kiper have the Packers taking on day two? Four picks right now scheduled. We'll go through those next with Fred from the front office. It's Wildy and Tausch.
You're listening to Wildy and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN. Missed any of the show? Find us on Wisconsin On Demand wherever you get your podcasts. It's free, it's everywhere, and it's for you.
One of my least favorite things on this show is when Tausch refers to something as sexy. Just kind of, I just find it weird. Not as weird as Greg Doyle exchange with Caitlin Clark yesterday at her press conference.
Greg Doyle should be fired for that creepiness.
I don't think he should be fired. No, I don't believe in firing people because I've made mistakes on this program repeatedly.
You do put. Like, if somebody's not executing play.
Not for one mistake.
I don't think you think that's really his only mistake.
I'll say this. That was his highest profile one. That was bad. That was a bad look.
It was creepy beyond cringe creep.
It was cringy. No doubt about it. Super cringe.
And then he tried to blame. Then he blamed sexism for why he did it. Because they don't have any female athletes that he's ever had a cover. So he's blaming sexism for that. It was a whole,
this cat is something else. All right. I was teasing this because I figured you wanted to get into it, like legit get into it.
Oh, my bad. Well,
later
that's
in the
on
program.
You for teasing it. Yeah.
It's on me for sexism, I think, is what I took from that.
Bringing up sexism, he brought it up.
You literally brought it up.
I understand.
Screwed up because of this.
Dang it. I just thought, hey, this is a tease for later in the show because I know Tausch is going to want to get into it, and I love to talk about journalism. And now I've...
You're, of course, going to just... okay, go ahead.
Journalism. Not sexy.
Big J, they call you. What up, Big J?
Capital J journalism. Something that I don't find sexy is then mock drafts of the second and third round. Because who the hell knows who's going to be on the board by then?
Nobody knows in the first round either.
Right. And this is even worse then. That's my problem.
Okay.
So here are your picks from Mel Kiper and Field Yates' combined three-round mock draft. You know I hate these, but nevertheless. At number 41, with the pick from the New York Jets for Aaron Rodgers, the Packers select Patrick Paul. Do you have any idea who Patrick Paul is?
Jake Paul's brother?
No.
Nope.
He's an offensive tackle from Houston. The Texans have the next pick, and he has them taking Mason Smith, a defensive tackle from LSU. Mason Smith visited the Packers. So that is a name that's worth having on your radar.
Cooper DeGene. did not visit the Packers.
Correct.
So take that into account.
But that doesn't.
Mason Smith with two A's.
Yeah, you don't see that very often.
I like that.
Now, continuing with the day two picks for the Packers per this mock draft. At 58, their own pick, the Packers select Peyton Wilson. Do you know who Peyton Wilson is?
No.
Yeah, neither did I. Linebacker from NC State. So
like
he would be your inside linebacker pick that you'd be looking for. All right, so those are your second round picks. Now, into the third round we go, where Goody has had an uneven history in the third round. But Sean Ryan has come around. I think we agree Tucker Kraft looks like a good pick. Amari Rodgers, Jay Sternberger, Josiah DeGuara, not as good.
Jaden Reed was round three, right?
No, he was a second round
pick. Oh, shoot.
Your picks in the third round of the Green Bay Packers at number 88, their own pick, Kalen Bullock, a safety from USC, to pair with Xavier McKinney, potentially, at safety. And then at 91 for the Buffalo third-round pick, they got as part of that trade, in which they also sent a fifth-round pick to Buffalo along with Rasul Douglas. Outside linebacker Brennan Jackson of Washington State. So there you go. You go safety, you go outside linebacker, you go inside linebacker, and you go tackle in the four picks on day two. What I would say to that is, those are all needs. I like the idea of filling all those needs on day two. I think that's a good... If Goody does that, you will feel good about what he's done and then hope he got the right guys. Agreed?
You'll feel good. You'll feel good if that's what Goot does.
Sehr gut, ja, kleiner Mann. Yeah. Again, we'll see how these guys all turn out. There is not a running back, though, among those day one or day two picks.
Yeah, you know what? In fairness, though, the running backs, there's not going to be a first-round running back.
Correct.
It does not sound
like it. You're right. Mm-hmm.
There's going to be a lot of value, I think, in 4, 5, 6. The Green Bay Packers will select a running back, and that running back is going to push A.J. Dillon to be the backup. That's what's going to happen.
Yeah, I think.
And who's the other cat that they got?
Emmanuel Wilson, not to be confused with Emmanuel Lewis, who played Webster.
Yeah, Emmanuel Wilson will also be pushing. Whether or not they're going to try to put A.J. Dillon in a fullback role, I don't buy that. I don't buy that. I think.
Did you hear something? Did you hear some rumblings from inside the building that he might
Matt
move
LaFleur
to fullback?
Yeah, Matt LaFleur said it at a press conference. I think everybody heard it. So it's not just me hearing. It's not me going to Rustique with a couple of the scouts. It's not where I'm at. So
is that what Rob did?
This is where I think – what's that?
Is that what Rob did with his gold jacket?
No, Rob was out working the streets of Indy. And that's what Rob was doing. So I don't know. I would be shocked if the Green Bay Packers don't come out of this draft with a fast, you know, old boy from Louisville, the old Scotty Badger. I don't know, you know, how far down he's going to go. But my guess is once you see one or two running backs go, you're going to see a run on running backs. And I think the Green Bay Packers know they want to get a home run hitter, maybe somebody that's raw, but that's young and that can come in and bring some speed and infusion into this offense, because I think Matt LaFleur, for as much as he wanted to have Aaron Jones back, I think he knows, even though Josh Jacobs is good back, they're not going to be able to do everything they want unless they get somebody else in there that can bring another level of speed and athleticism out on the perimeter that I think he wants to have.
All right, before Tausch tells us about Fortrea, I want to make sure I clarify this. At no point has Matt LaFleur said that A.J. Dillon could be playing fullback. What Matt LaFleur said at the NFC Coaches Breakfast in Orlando is that, quote, I think there's some versatility that we can start to use with him moving forward and trying to be more of a movable piece, not just a tailback. What do you, what is that?
So how do you read that? What, are they going to move him to offensive tackle? How do you read that other than saying he's going to be an H-back, fullback type two?
Yeah, I think they definitely want to get him on the move in terms of motioning out of the backfield and blocking at the point of attack. I agree with that. Do I think they're going to line up in the I formation?
What do we call that player?
We call that player an H-back. That's not a fullback. It's not a fullback. It's not a fullback. Also, he talked about him being a third down back.
Yeah. I don't know. I misheard everything he said. So I guess he's just going to be a tailback, that they move.
I literally said not just a tailback. Why are you so irritated with me today?
Well, you just called me out and said I misquoted him, said what I said.
No, I'm not.
He's going to move him around. He's going to want two backs in the backfield. He's going to want to have him doing different things. It's not going to just be standard old run A.J. Dillon. You're going to move him. I think Matt LaFleur really wanted to have the two-back system. He saw that with A.J. and Aaron Jones last year to a certain extent. Saw DeGuara moving around a little bit. I think they want to implement A.J. Dillon in more of a physical way. If you don't want to call it fullback, fine. H-back, U-back, U-71, U-28, whatever you want to call it, I don't care. But the point is, he wants to get him involved in other aspects where he's going to be a blocker and he's going to be more front-facing than what he's been.
Which is what I wanted you to explain, because if he's playing fullback, he's not going to play like William Henderson. He's not going to line up in the I formation behind Brett Favre and Mark Tauscher and Mike Flanagan and Wall and Rivera and Clifton and have Mon Green directly behind him and plunging into the line of scrimmage into the hole to block a linebacker. I don't think that's what he intends. I think he wants to have him on the move, which is what he said.
I'll tell you this. Short yardage been a concern. I wouldn't mind seeing some fullback dives, some quick pop hits with A.J. Dillon.
Better than giving him the ball.
Where you're not having him start 7-8 yards deep. Start him and give him a fullback dive. You don't think I'd like to see that? I would bet that you're going to see some short yardage implementation. And since we don't want to call it fullback, I don't care what you call it. A U-back dive, a 28 dive, however you want to call it. I won't say fullback ever again, but that's what I think they want to do.
Can you say Fortria instead?
Yeah, if you're looking for a little extra spending cash, go to Fortria, clinicaltrials.com. They have a couple studies lined up for you. Healthy men and women of non-childbearing potential, ages 18 to 60, BMI of 18.5 to 30. Study is one stay, 11 nights, two follow-ups. Grab yourself $5,302 for your time and participation, plus $300 per qualified referral. Go to FortriaClinicalTrials.com. That's Fortria, F-O-R-T-R-E-A, clinicaltrials.com.
10 o'clock hour starts in 2 minutes. It's Wilde and Tausch.